Mickey, Mickey, meow, meow. Or getting fancy with AI. Above all, and this is something you really have to get used to, the how is that you give your AI a script that you review and customize, and it creates the initial code, which is similar to a simple wiki that can edit its own code. This script is generated by other AI, where you talk about security and brilliant ideas and saving data and dealing with multiple users and versions and new technologies. You have to chat with the AI. In this text, I show you what to chat about to create a virtual world that can create products that can make you a dollar. So let us begin not with architecture, but with talking about what modern billing looks like, so that you know I mean business. Business for you, of course. So let's answer the big question. Why will anyone even give you money? Well, because you will customize a large language model in a way that they need. And they can't do this themselves because they are under deadlines and schedules. They're trying to release some program and you have the resources. When they give you a little bit of money, you'll do a lot of work for them so that they can finish on time. So basically, you create value by creating something that nobody else has time for. It's actually pretty cool and really honest. For example, you will do the research, text programming, and maintenance to create and update valid pixel art sprite sheets. This means pixel art game characters that can neatly walk. You create such a service out of curiosity, and you take weeks and months. The person who needs those sprites has no time. They have probably a game to release. To them, your sprites will be more valuable than you can imagine, and that is why they will give you a little bit of money. They give you a little bit of money so that they can make a bunch on their own. Now, don't be scared of processing credit cards. Credit card processing security is a solved problem. Basically, you pull a transaction ID from your payment processor, who always keeps their stuff secure. If a hacker was to intercept the transaction ID, which is kind of weird because it does not need to be saved anywhere, they can't do anything with it because it's not a credit card. It's meant for one purchase and it has an expiration and a cancel and of course the pay function. So the security is done by the credit card company. You only worry about refunds. That is currently the biggest problem for all the people that are doing sales, but we take care of it here. You fix refunds and chargebacks by giving people free credits to test your service. They only give you money when they love your service. And it is a low fee and it's tested now, so there will be no chargebacks. It's just an honest transaction. You're selling something of value. Now let's talk about credits, because what they are actually buying is credits on top of the free ones that you give them to test out the service. These credits actually represent a quota limit. Everything, all the free services have a quota limit. You can't send a gazillion emails, and your very ISP, the people that connect you to the internet, won't let you download a gazillion files. So quotas are everywhere. The notion of credits makes the quota limit transparent so that everyone knows about it. And you have multiple levels so that heavy users can pay more to get more. Fair and square. If you don't like the idea of selling things and doing credit card processing and then worrying about taxes and stressing out about weird lawyers, then don't worry about it. Just give away your service for free. That actually creates advertising for you, so that when you are ready to launch, when you aren't scared of it, that you can see you will make a bunch, then you will have lots of users ready to sign up. So there is really no trouble here. Internet is a pretty neat place. Now let's talk about the system architecture, the large wiki that keeps track of everything that runs on your computer. It's nobody's business, where you chat with bots about your business inventions and applications and such. So if you do make a sale or give away a free service, you will be selling a standard API endpoint or a URL where people can connect with a web browser and perform some task. And let me just add that this probably does cost a little bit of money. So when you do credit card processing, your users are going to be paying like $5 a month. And the way you use your AI on your end is probably gonna cost you $20 a month. So you need like 3 or 4 users to take care of everything. But never mind billing. Let's just talk about the architecture now. If another user of a virtual pixel world compatible system buys your service, acute, here's that word again, representative of your system will show up in their lobby, in their virtual world. It will be a system-compatible character that will notify them of their quota, answer any billing questions, and alert them to system status. Very simple, but a cute little pixel creature. So while the pixel art is a decoration on top of a standard way of doing things, it also allows their other bots to talk to your bot. You see, it creates a compatibility layer in a way that you can track and imagine, especially if you are just starting with all this internet business. So their own bot that generates static pixel art characters, like you may be seeing on your screen right now, can send these images to your bot for converting them to sprite sheets, which then enable animation. And then your bot will pass them on to a bot on their system again that maybe splits these sprite sheets into animation and posts them for a human or the owner of that system to review or use in their game. Now, I do not think that it's bots all the way down, and you will need code and snippets, but AI will take care of it. This idea of bots all the way down comes from people who used to say that the world is built atop a turtle. And when someone asked, well, what is the turtle standing on? That person would say, the turtle is on top of another turtle and it's turtles all the way down. So your system is not just built out of bots, though that is doable. It's actually more like a Wikipedia of artificial intelligence prompts. Now, it's not just write a program for me. These are a different kind of prompt. They're more like very detailed, step-by-step instructions on how to create some application. And you have AI visiting those steps to check for security problems, to make sure that it says, oh, you have to sanitize user input. Oh, you have to make sure that this works and that there's a quota limit and that there's a throttle for the requests and all those extra bells and whistles that security bots worry about. So it's not a simple prompt. It's more like a professional, really professional requirements document that spells everything out. So this is the part where I briefly mention what the system code that you run on your own personal computer should be. I personally believe that the fundamental core of this system should be a wiki, like an empty Wikipedia. But you should do your own thing as you learn more about content management systems and game design, maybe virtual world creation. I continue building in the same spirit that had me select pixel art as the initial graphic theme for the virtual world. I just want to say thank you to the code that made me a better programmer. There will be better ways, but they will not be as beautiful. Though it's your job to discover them and to wisely ponder them as you improve your system. Some part of me would like this system to begin as a MUD, a multi-user dungeon, where you have little characters and rooms and locations and chat can already be implemented. But we really need to start code first. So we are yet to make the multi-user dungeon. And to get there, we need a program that allows us to create code. And that is the WikiWiki. And we are being revolutionary from the get-go, because it is a self-editable wiki, meaning that all its guts can be pulled up in the browser and edited. Allow me to give it a name. I called it Mickey Mickey Meow Meow. The M in the first Mickey stands for map. The second M stands for MUD, the multi-user dungeon, and the meow meow stands for the fact that that's what cats do. The icky comes from the word wiki, of course, and it means quick. Quick to write, quick to iterate, and quick to use. I don't think this should ever be exposed to the internet. It must run on your private computer. And I actually have a tiny little WikiWiki that's probably like 25 lines of code that runs on my private computer, where if I chat with one of the AIs on the internet using my phone and I want to save the conversation, I don't usually log in anywhere, and I want to save the conversation, I come home, I turn on the Wi-Fi on the phone, and then just pull up my WikiWiki and paste the text of the conversation in there. So it's a really useful program. This is not the same program that wraps the things you sell. Those need to be hosted on whatever supports Node.js, and AI can help you with that. And whatever AI your product uses will be hosted by a company that sells AI by the token. They can be super inexpensive, like 0.0001 cent or something like that. Mickey Mickey Meow Meow is a prototype. We shouldn't think about security yet because the program does not quite yet exist. The old way of programming was security first. But in the age of AI, where Mickey Mickey Meow Meow can be quickly rewritten, let's not worry about hackers yet. Beyond stating that this is a private piece of software that runs on your computer and no one else should really have access to it. A self-editable wiki exposes all of its files for editing, including the main server file, which, if edited wrong, would prevent the wiki from working. It's just magical as the infinity of infinite loops. Get used to it. It's good stuff for the programmer soul. You can always ask AI to modify the code and prevent the server MJS from being edited, or introduce permissions or user roles, or run every save through a security bot to check for bugs, hacks, and bad ideas. Some people are going to go completely wild, and they aren't actually going to pay attention to the server MJS file that holds the wiki code. Not really, not beyond a simple backup. Because all the instructions, the actual code, will be an AI prompt. So if they want to change something in their wiki, they will run it through an AI and generate entirely new, slightly different code for their entire system. And there are tests that you can set up for software that's generated by AI to see that everything is actually working. But I think AI is advancing so quickly that the idea of AI generating bad code will soon become kind of a weird thing to worry about, since AI is just going to beat human coders at everything they do. So this is going to be months away. I don't think we have to wait years for that. And I do want to remind you, and especially any old coders reading this, old programmers, that AI marks a whole new world. Everything has changed. And it is going to be a whole new world every few months from now on. The old advice does not work anymore. And I think that's wonderful. Not only will Mickey Mickey Meow Meow allow you to edit articles, code, the side menu, the footer, text description of code, but also transclude all the data. Transclusion is the act, sometimes art, of including one page within another. And you would need this, say, during a session where you create an object-oriented programming class and you define all the methods or the actions that you can execute, and then think to yourself, well, you know, it would really make sense if some of these had their own Mickey Mickey Meow Meow page where the bots could focus on the specifics of an action in this object so that they don't get confused by other stuff. So instead of putting the code into the class body, as JavaScript would expect, you would put in a transclude tag that links to another page. It's that simple. And then when you open the page in view mode, it will look like the function was always there, where it's actually just dynamically transcluded. But most importantly, Mickey Mickey Meow Meow allows you to hold discussions in context of the page that you are on. That's what this is about. This is, of course, the talk page that you might have noticed on Wikipedia. And this is really important when you have multiple artificial intelligence characters and even trusted humans through their chat avatars trying to figure something out or fix some problem. Now, I must tell you that it's not possible for me to cover all the features in one text. In fact, it would be wiser if I broke everything down in sections. But I already created the code. Just I won't be able to talk about it because it would be horribly boring. It's already a 19-minute audio file. Those sections are tagging so that you can tag your articles and browse them through a tag system. Now, I've created something really brilliant here because I converted the file system that everything is running on, like your My Documents folder, into a key value store where the directory is the name of the tag and the entries or the files inside the directory are the names of articles that are tagged with that tag. So it's a little slow, a little clunky, but so good to manage. Routing. I actually asked artificial intelligence to create a custom router. It supports too many HTTP verbs, but it's something that you don't need to download from a third party that's already bundled in your system. And, you know, looking at that code, I know it's standard and everything, but it could be improved so much more that it could become like a five-line thing. And I also provide you with the history feature of all the articles in the Mickey Mickey Meow Meow. History feature is based on the way that CouchDB saves files. So let's imagine you have a file called hello.txt. We are not going to be creating a file for that. We are going to create a directory called hello. And inside of that directory, we are going to start putting in files with a random file name that is prefixed with the version that the user was editing. So because it's a random file name, it's always guaranteed to be saved. Because there is a revision number, you can always figure out which version is the latest and which one to display. And if two people were editing the same file at the same time, they will come up with the same version. And your system will be able to see that and say, whoa, there's an edit conflict. Hello, human, come and fix it. You don't have to do it, but it will be marked that two people edited the file at the same time. And then, of course, there's the presence of the bots. I provide a sample implementation of the three, tagging, routing, and history, as it may make for an interesting chat with the AI, but the bots are too new to fully flesh out at this moment. We can, however, be sure that server push is used here. So your wiki will be sending information into your browser when it feels like it. So when an AI responds to something, it will happen between the Mickey Mickey Meow Meow and some remote AI or local AI. And then when that remote AI responds, that will go through the push technology into your browser and it will pop up in the chat room or on the page as a comment. For now, to keep things simple, which bots are on the Mickey Mickey Meow Meow page that you are on are stored in a related Mickey Mickey Meow Meow page, which is server push enabled. It's just that simple. So it's not just that you have a web page in your wiki. There are supporting pages. Some of it, it's code. Some of it, it's lists of bots. Some of it, it's other stuff. It's all nicely integrated together. If you are on a page named my router slash bots would contain the AI that is present on that page that should monitor for changes and the like. This means that there are subpages or special pages, just like on Wikipedia. Finally, I just want to clarify that deploying a business or an AI service does not include Mickey Mickey Meow Meow code, but it includes the code that the AI helps you generate through the Mickey Mickey Meow Meow. But this may not mean that the code relies on huge external modules. Mm-mm. We have entered an age, probably, of purpose-built apps.
this will help you a lot. Ones that run without administrative areas and configuration files, even. They are programs written by AI for a very specific purpose. Get the job done, get the users signed up, make them happy with a pretty user interface. And there is nothing for you to do there. If you want to change something, you regenerate the entire application with different ideas or parameters, you see.
So the actual source code of the programs that you deploy and make money with is a detailed step-by-step AI prompt that's probably stored in Mickey Mickey Meow Meow or any other professional development environment. So fundamentally, it's a text document. I think modern large language models can generate secure and valid code, but it is always good to check. So another AI, a professional service, will need to run a security scan, both externally on your website, which will include Linux configuration, and internally on your code, which will validate that the AI that you used to generate that code made all the correct decisions. This is pretty cool and very down-to-earth, very realistic. This is a good idea, whether the code is generated or written by someone manually. Using off-the-shelf content management systems and the shopping carts does not always mean that things are going to be safer. It usually is a massive code base with lots of external dependencies, a mix of which may always be out of date. So you have to monitor the content management system, the shopping cart you installed within it, and the program libraries that the content management, all of its plugins, and the shopping cart and all of those plugins are relying on. That's a pretty crazy thing to deploy, if you ask me. In fact, try searching the internet for a name of a popular content management or shopping cart followed by the word hacked. You will see that there is a lot of people there who are in desperate need of help, not just looking to upgrade their system, but to fix the damage from the hacks that the security holes opened up. So, purpose-built AI code may not be as wild of an idea as old-school programmers listening to this audio are currently fuming about. They may actually be wrong. Again, oy. The times have changed. This is the age of artificial intelligence. Even though large language models are just the beginning, the other stuff is coming our way too. And it's going to be months, not years. The world doesn't work in years anymore. Human advancement accelerated because of the artificial intelligence and because of the promises that we can see are becoming more real. So everything is just moving much faster now. It won't be long before some programmer tests what is safer: off-the-shelf large systems, manually programmed custom systems, or AI applications generated from security-minded detailed prompts. I wouldn't bet against the AI. The code base of an AI-generated program for a specific purpose while it's being security-minded is so much smaller than the code base of a popular content management system that it just boggles the mind. And you know, supply chain attack, as poisoning of dependencies is called, is non-existent, as the AI writes all the modules and plugins too. Only takes an extra second. Asking AI to write secure code is probably already safer than something someone else wrote ages ago. And you are not asking the AI to vibe code. No, you are using other AI to write detailed and security-minded instructions first. You are so lucky. This is such an amazing time to get into programming and get into making little wikis and multi-user dungeons and playing with pixel art. Oh my gosh, you can generate beautiful pixel art in just seconds. If you get into this, you're gonna have fun for decades.